The vast majority of us will experience a bout of low back pain at least once during our lives, and some of us will go on to have long-term pain. Two of the treatments available from physiotherapists, osteopaths and chiropractors are spinal manipulation and spinal mobilisation. There's a little evidence that with acute back pain, they might give short-term relief, but no difference in the longer term. The open question is whether they help people with chronic low back pain. And that was the focus of a recent clinical trial led by Professor James Thomas, who's in the Department of Physical Therapy at Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, Virginia. I spoke to him earlier.
Our cohort was 162 individuals with chronic low back pain. And in this case, we define that as having pain on most days for greater than 3 months.
So this was not acute back pain where I've suddenly thrown my back out and I'm in agony and can't get off the floor.
This is not. These are individuals who have been in pain and had it for quite a bit of time.
And pain just in the back or down the leg as well? Was it sciatica?
They could have pain down the leg, but they could not have hard neurologic signs. So they couldn't have motor weakness or reflex changes.
So what kind of manipulation did they have?
And it was manipulation versus mobilization / muscle energy. In this case, it was a fairly classic procedure where the individual was placed on, first of all, the clinician, whether it was either an osteopath or a physical therapy or a physio, would examine the patient, determine where their restrictions were with respect to the spinal function. They would be placed on their side, their knees flexed up to the point of the restricted segment. And then from the top down, the clinician would rotate their thorax down to the point where they felt the movement or the stiffness in the spine, and then have the individual take a deep breath in, blow the breath out. At the end of the exhalation, they would put a rapid rotatory force to try to induce a spinal manipulation.
A forceful thrust, yes. At the end.
Yeah, what they would call a high velocity, short amplitude thrust.
And the mobilization part?
Identical in terms of positioning, flexing the individual's knees, rotating them back till they get to that end point. But at that point, what they would do was a series of isometric contractions. So if you would imagine that, you would ask the person essentially to try to twist or rotate while they're in this position, their torso, and they would be doing that isometrically. The clinician would be resisting the movement. So it would be a very low-level contraction. And in that case, it would tend to pull the joint to open it up to allow it to move. In theory, that's how it's supposed to work.
Now, one of the problems that's bedeviled research in this area is that you can't be blinded in a randomized trial to the fact that somebody's given you a hard thrust on your back or mobilized you. You had a laser treatment as the placebo.
Yes, we had an inert cold laser. So everything turned on and lights came on, but there was no energy. And the upside about this is, you know, placebo is all about theater. The individual has to believe they are getting an actual treatment. So when the clinician would put on the safety goggles, the patient would put on the safety goggles, the machine would turn on. The clinician didn't know that the machine wasn't working. So as far as they were concerned, they were given a real laser treatment to this group. And we were just comparing three different treatments. So this whole project was not sold as we're studying manipulation, is we're studying three different treatments for chronic back pain.
And were they able to recognize that the laser was placebo? That's one of the criteria for an RCT, that you don't recognize the placebo?
No, they weren't able to recognize. And each of the groups were, you know, asked how valuable they think the treatment is, how much do they expect it to help their pain. And we found that the laser did quite well in terms of their expectancies for it to be a successful treatment.
And the results?
Compared to the placebo, there was no effect of manipulation or mobilization compared to the placebo or relative to each other. They had very small change in pain and disability. It really wasn't an effective intervention for individuals with chronic back pain.
So they got a little bit of benefit, but they all got the same benefit.
Yes.
Before I get you to the final message here, you looked at 5,000 people and you ended up with 162. Some people would say that you've been too highly selective here and it's not a typical group with chronic low back pain.
Interesting point. The 5,000 number is a bit, those are the individuals who filled out the initial pre-screen. And across the board, there's a variety of reasons why people aren't eligible, from age to length of time of symptoms, again, not being chronic, but being acute, Then could they come in for the actual treatment? And then there was in-person screening, which we examined whether these individuals would likely benefit from manipulation. So we actually tried to bias this towards having an individual respond. And even with that, we did not find that this for individual chronic back pain, that either manipulation or mobilization was an effective treatment.
So is this generalizable to people with chronic low back pain?
I believe so. One of the legitimate complaints of our study was that our sample was young. They had relatively mild chronic back pain and not very disabled. The interesting part is in when we started looking at the biology, we're actually finding that these individuals, we can separate out the performance of their trunk, that they have differences in their trunk compliance different than age match healthy controls. And that's going to be the follow-up paper that we're working on with actually a fellow Australian who is postdoc in my lab, and Alexander Stamankovic from University of Wollongong.
So what you're saying is that when you actually examined their spines, it was typical of somebody might be 20 years older with a chronic back pain. The fact that they were 20 in their 20s didn't matter.
No, that's the real surprising part, is that there was real differences. But what I think the take-home message is that I think spinal manipulation, again, I'm a clinician, or you know, treated individuals, I've used manipulation over the years, but for a chronic back pain population, there's great limitations to the benefit of this intervention. And I suggest that our study is showing that it's not particularly effective, which doesn't mean that it's not effective in other cohorts, but for chronic back pain, it's not particularly effective. And I think the important part is that the differences between one type of manipulation versus another really didn't stand out either. So I think that's another important finding.
Thank you very much for joining us on the Health Report.
Well, thank you for having me on. I enjoyed chatting with you.
Professor James Thomas is in the Department of Physical Therapy at Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, Virginia.